Navigating life at the end of your military career can be scary at best and can result in tragedy at worst. But not if you are traveling with the retirement roadmap. Army wife, now turned after Army wife, Melissa Thomas, helps us navigate the treacherous waters of retirement so we can get safely to the other side. Stay tuned. Welcome to Military Wife Matters, Episode 4, From Army Greens to Civvies. Hello, I am Sakina Bunch, your relationship health and wellness coach. Welcome to Military Wife Matters, where we delve into the real-life issues concerning military wives across the nation. Today's topic is on retiring from the military, and today's guest is Melissa Thomas. She is the wife of Sergeant First Class retired Michael Thomas, and mother of two amazing teens, son Private Colby Thomas, 18, and daughter Devin, 16. She and her husband have been married for 20 phenomenal years, and Melissa has been connected to the Army for 40 years by way of her dad, Sergeant First Class retired Michael Ayer Sr. She knows a thing or two about the Army, the enlistment process, the retirement system, and transitioning from Army Greens to Civvies. Melissa is here to share her wisdom with us today. Welcome, Melissa, to Military Wife Matters. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
You are welcome. You grew up military. First of all, how was that?
It was an adventure. Everywhere we went, it was new people. It was amazing. Looking back on it, it's been a good adventure.
How did you and your husband meet?
So my husband and I actually met when we came home for Christmas Exodus and we flew into the Louisville airport.
Wow. And you met him at the airport?
We did. And then about a year later, I ran into him at Fort Rucker, Alabama.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was crazy. Our moms were talking in the airport and I remember seeing my mom and I'm like, okay, she's talking to somebody. Because that's what moms do. They talk to everybody. And then I just remember telling him, hey, man, it's nice meeting you and happy holiday, and left. Never expected to see him again. So it was crazy.
Now, our listeners here at Military Wife Matters, they come from all ends of the military spectrum, from contemplating joining to mid-career to embarking on retirement and all areas in between. Explain what life was like in the military for you and your family.
So when we say family, do we mean connected to father, or can you mean my immediate husband, children?
Yes.
So our son, his birthday is in July, and that's before 9/11 happened. And then once that happened, it was a total different, okay, this is real. This is what we've signed up for. This is our commitment now.
Yeah.
So I think for us in the early years, it was a lot of ups and downs and a lot of trial and error and a lot of confusion. How do you make a relationship work, and not just marriage, but family connections, you know, still be there when you have an absent parent? As time went on, and I guess you kind of adapt to the deployment, but it never gets easy. Mm-hmm. So I for us in the beginning, it was quite scary. And then as his enlistment went on and my transition out, the stability was there because we knew this is what we were doing. You know, we knew when we PCS somewhere that we were going to deploy. So it just became routine, you know, by the grace of God. You know, my husband survived these deployments, came home to us. And it was time for us when we retired to make that, you know, so that was like, we're ready. Our kids were older and they needed their dad. So, and dad needed them, you know, but overall, I mean, resiliency is the biggest word there to remember.
I can relate to you on that level because my husband and I both joined in 97, and you are right. That was pre-war. I can remember exactly where I was when 9/11 hit. Shortly after 9/11, he received orders to Korea. He was only supposed to be there for like 12 months. Well, when the word came down that we were going to war, there was a stop loss.
And his original 12 months wound up getting extended to an additional 10 months for a total of almost 2 years gone. It was one of the hardest times in our lives as a family. I had two family members die. One of them was my mom. And it's like when the two people you have in your life that are your rocks, the shoulders that you lean on, when they're gone, it gets hard to hold that foundation together. You do your best to hold yourself together because you have little ones, you know, little eyes that are looking at you and little ears that are listening to you and depending on you for not just physical, but emotional and spiritual stability too. And it gets difficult. My daughter is close in age to your son. You know, she's 19. But when my husband left, she was 2. And when he came back, she was 4. She didn't understand why he had to leave and be gone so long. Then when he returned, she almost didn't even recognize him. This was before the age of easy teleconference. Many outside of the military really don't fully understand, and they'll probably never fully understand, the price that not only the service member pays, but also the whole family pays for service to country.
Our son was so little at the time, and our daughter, she was so young too, that my husband's first deployment was in 2004 to Iraq with 1st Infantry Division out of Germany. So here we had these two kids overseas. My dad had passed away by that point. So there was a lot of trauma that had happened in such a short period of time, a lot of change. And I wanted to figure out a way to hit our son loved Ninja Turtles. And my, with my husband's name being Mike, I thought to myself, how can I get this kid to understand what we're about to go through? So I often referred to dad as, well, dad's a Ninja Turtle and they have to go fight, you know, they have to take care of the bad guys. And our son would just light up like Michelangelo. And it was like, yeah, he's Michelangelo. So I think those small things, and of course you try to compensate, you try to overcompensate. And you just hope you're getting it right. You know, that's really all you do. You hope you're getting it right.
You've done such a good job thus far. So let's switch gears for a second. When your son told you he was going to enlist, what was your reaction?
How was that for us? You know, we've known since 9, like in all honesty. So our son is so much us that when you put your mind to something, you do it. Like you have this goal, you have an idea, and you achieve it. And since he was 9 years old, he saw a billboard. He's like, I'm going to go do that. And I was like, okay, the uniforms are cool. Because I didn't really know what to say. I wasn't going, you know, I wasn't going to say, no, don't do that. It's not my place. But when the time came down to it and he wanted to enlist, you know, he was 17. His birthday is in July. So he's always younger. He's like a younger in his class. And he was like, you guys just sign my document. And I was like, son, don't you want to do this when you're of age and you're a man and you don't need your parents' permission? That's what that's about. I wanted him to do this without my permission, you know, but that's a big grown-up decision. And he was like, no, not really.
Okay.
So dad and I signed and my heart dropped a little bit, but it dropped a lot, but it's also full of so much pride for this young man. He grew up knowing what this lifestyle consists of and was still willing to say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do, guys. So I think that says a lot to his character. So just super proud, super proud. It's a huge adjustment, a huge adjustment. My husband and I grieved when he left. You know, of course, we're total ends of the couch, and I'm trying to figure out what this feels like. This is my firstborn gone, and knowing what he's joining and what he may and may not have to do, you know. But this was the first time that my husband had ever been left. Mm. He's used to doing the leaving.
Wow.
He's used to being the one walking out the door, mm-hmm. boots and bags. And this was his kid. You know, this is my son. Did I have enough time? Did I do all the things? But, you know, we go to his graduation. And, of course, the first thing you see is this young man who's standing so tall mm-hmm. and is so proud of his accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to make me cry.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry.
But you see it and you're just like, wow. Like, yeah. All you can say is blessed. Everything you question as a parent at that point, am I providing him with the essentials to survive? You know, like you play those things over and over again because you get caught up in this life. Transition from the army happened so fast for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was 16 when his dad got out. Mm-hmm. So we only had 2 years, what felt like 2 years, to really kind of create a foundation somewhere. And hopefully this would be the home he'd want to come back to. And it's a good transition. Mm-hmm. Now that we're through it, it's hard.
Right. Now that you're through it.
Now that we're through it.
Okay.
It's tough. Next question.
Yes. Next question. Yes.
So you saw your dad retire, correct? Now, did that seem seamless?
It didn't appear seamless. Okay. it looked like chaos. Mm-hmm. So my dad is a Vietnam vet. Was a Vietnam vet. And upon retirement, him and my mother did not remain together. So at this time when he's retiring, there was other chaos, you know, in our lives. And my father had decided to move to Alabama, where my grandfather had retired from the army, and lived down there with my grandparents. So we were actually here at Fort Knox, and my dad took a job, moved down there to try to start over his life. So we didn't get to see a lot of what that looked like with him, because we were, you know, my brother and I were younger. I'm younger than him. My brother is the oldest, and he have noticed differences in, like, my dad's behavior or financially. I didn't really notice that, or I was witnessing more of the breakdown of our family unit.
Right.
And my dad made sure, like, we were always very comfortable. So I think my dad sacrificed a lot during that transition. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, he did get a job with DynaCorp, and he was working armament, which was his job in the military. He repaired weapon systems for aircraft. So, you know, he gets a job, things are working better, he meets a new person, remarries, things like that. But it wasn't immediate. It was probably about a 6-year span before he actually got on his feet. And I can only imagine that was because the transition for him was the same as it was for my husband. Mm-hmm. You are with a group of men and women daily. You are structured. You have goals. You have a duty, right? And when you retire, your sense of purpose kind of diminishes a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because the army is almost like the absentee father that gives you an attaboy every once in a while. When something like that happens, your pride often stops you from reaching out to maybe your brothers in arms. So I think for him, it was really hard because he left everyone that he was around. And granted, he gained, you know, the company and the support of my grandparents being so close to them. But it's also very parallel to what we've experienced. So I can only speak from my point of view as I've lived it, and then assume that that was the same for my father because I was so young.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you started to transition, How much of a burden was that on you going from military to civilian life?
So initially it was very easy. We decided on where we live. We own a property in Southeast Alabama at Fort Rucker. We had always talked about moving back there. And then when we start to talk about career potentials and the best job opportunities, because you have bills and people to support. Mm-hmm. So it changed kind of instantaneously when we realized, hey, HRC, my husband was human resources, Fort Knox is where we needed to go. And there was a lot of, okay, well, we're the kind of make it happen people. We don't take time to like dwell in it. We just push through it. Mm-hmm. So we decided, we were in Italy. We decided to buy a house online.
Wow, that's brave.
No, it was silly. Luckily, we did come back to my husband's hometown. Mm-hmm. So this is where he is from. And he went to high school and had some friends. One was a realtor. And the guy was like, hey, we'll make this happen for you. So we did have some people kind of guiding us. But then our children and I came back early due to school starting. So it would have been my son's junior year. And it was like, okay, he's got to be in high school. Mm-hmm. So we left prior to my husband coming back. We got back to the estate, signed for our house. And the kids and I lived here for about 30 days without anything except for air mattresses.
That's the old military way.
Yeah, exactly. Our kids actually like camped out together because like, oh, the house is so quiet. We're going to share this room. And I cleaned this new house like crazy. Mm. Other people's stuff, right? And then our stuff got here and it was like, okay, cool. And then you go through that whole process. Once my husband got back, you know, that was like, okay, now you get to take some time. You know, I'm going to use a terminal leave and like putter around, try to grow a beard, grow your hair out, things like that.
Right.
Like, okay.
Things civilians take for granted, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to sleep in a little bit, don't have to do anything.
Right.
And then the reality sits in, like, oh crap, we need jobs. Like, now.
Right.
What are we doing? I mean, we had kind of timed it because we knew that there was a wait in order to be able to get your GS position. So, yeah, we had, you know, we just said, hey, at some point, let's do this. Well, when it came down to the wire, you know, my husband took a job as a contractor at first because of that window of needing, you know, the 6-month wait period. Mm-hmm. And then I said, wait, I have a shopping habit and I need a job too. And I have to pay. Because you don't realize that, you know, your retirement is 50% of your benefit.
Yes.
That's not 50% of your whole.
Right.
That is 50% of your base pay. Mm-hmm. And when you have grown to the lifestyle that you have, mm-hmm. And Italy was the first time that I actually had not worked because I couldn't work with there. So you get accustomed to the things that you have and your lifestyle. And then we always put money back in savings because we knew eventually it was going to happen. But we're like over-preparers, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's better to be prepared than to not. But then, you know, you say to yourself, I too have bills and I need a job as well. Well, I'm a licensed cosmetologist. Mm-hmm. So I've done that across the United States. And I said, well, it's time to go back to work. So I was afraid, this is a funny thing. I was afraid to walk away from my military community because I too felt lost. I was like, wow, you moved me to a neighborhood that I've never lived. We're at an installation that we've never lived. I know absolutely nobody here. And, you know, I don't live on post. So that sense of community for me felt gone. Like how do I stay in touch? Because I had been so used to making friends throughout my military time that it was, you skip the stages of friendship. Like, you meet somebody, oh my God, you're my person.
That's right. And we're instant friends.
Yeah, like forever. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, okay, maybe they're not your person. And you're kind of like, you're still cordial, you know, and you keep it moving. Yeah. Well, without having that community like in my pocket, I said, I'm going to take a job on Post. And I did. I was offered the management position on Post. Mm-hmm. At their salon. And then I realized, like, okay, this is my way that I can give back to the community that I love, who is giving back to me. Mm-hmm. I had never worked on a military installation at a salon before. I had always worked where we, like, if we were in Fort Campbell, I worked in Clarksville. Mm-hmm. If we were in Texas at Hood, that's where I worked. You know what I mean? I never took the time to work on Post because I always like dreaded it a little bit, to be honest, because you're living there, you're working there, you're losing it. Mm-hmm. And that one connection with that active duty ID card, you're scared.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this is where I'm at. and this is for me. And I enjoyed it tremendously. Because I did feel like I was giving back. You know, spouses don't realize that. Even if you don't remain friends after a PCS, you leave a little, like, you take a little piece with you, you know. You remember the faces of their kids, or you remember how their dog barked annoyingly.
Yes.
Or you remember all those cool things. And that was pretty much the picture for us is, we said, well, we need somewhere to live. Let's make that happen. We're going to have to get our stuff. Let's make that happen. We need jobs. Let's make that happen. And then it's happening. You know, you're living it. You've transitioned. You have highs and lows daily. You think to yourself, was this the right decision? Is my soldier going to be okay? I watched my husband kind of get a little reclusive. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the same connections that he'd had before. You know, when you say you're retired, it doesn't hold the same. You don't feel like it holds the same as, oh, I'm active duty, you know, because you're almost irrelevant at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he now works in an office full of irrelevant people that are all retired, you know, like, so they're relevant to one another.
Mm. Well, that's good. So,
yeah, I mean, that's it.
Well, that's good. That's a lot right there. That's a lot because, oh, you know.
And we opened a business.
Now, I saw that. So, Bella Dawn Salon, is that the business that you opened?
Yes, that's ours.
Okay, well, you know what? Let me just, because I was going to dig into that a little bit later, but let's just talk about that now. Tell me all about Bella Dawn Salon. How did it start? Where is it?
Oh my gosh. Seriously, it started because my husband bought him a retirement truck. That's how it started. He was like, I want a truck. I said, okay, that's cool. You deserve it. You know, all those sayings you work, that's what you say. And I was working on Post. That was the first time that I ever worked for a corporate location. And I would come home like so drained, underappreciated, underpaid, loved the people, but just didn't have the staff. And I was there like 6 days a week. And I was like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. I don't want to live to work. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I want my life to have purpose. Mm-hmm. So I came home one day and my husband was like, so do you want a car or do you want a salon? I was like, what are you talking about? Because, you know, I thought it was going to be a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
No, babe, do you want a car or do you want a salon? And I said, if we buy a salon, I get to go and I'll be able to buy my own car.
Yes.
You know, like, we can do this. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, that situation was a total blessing in disguise. Thing to be prepared for when you retire. Your pay often does not happen at times it's supposed to, and VA doesn't necessarily kick in when they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So you do have to financially be prepared for that. Unfortunately, we were. They had wound up owing us quite a bit of back pay. Mm-hmm. And when that lump sum hit our account, that's what he bought my salon with. So he was like, you've followed me for 20 years doing this, and it's time that you have something for yourself. Oh. And of course, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you for real? And yes, like, okay. So yeah, I just dove in. It's located in the Vineland Center in Vine Grove, Kentucky. It's considered a boutique salon. We've been open for 9 months now, and it is just thriving. A lot of the clients that I was doing on post actually followed me, and they have spread the word. Through all of my experiences, like, we're talking 40 years of this life. Yeah. There is nothing that you could say to me that I would be shocked by. Everything happens in this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And due to that, like, the sympathy and empathy that I have for this, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes me great at what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at updos, and they all know this, but they force me to do them, you know? And I'm like, you guys, your hair is going to look crazy for that milk ball photo, but okay. If you want color, dude, that's perfect for me because I'm an artist. I paint. Uh-huh. But I think that overall, yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing. Business ownership is awesome. And I have the support of my best friend. So
yes, that makes the difference. That truly makes the difference.
We call him the CFO.
I think we are kindred spirits. I really do, because my husband is on the brink of retirement. You ask him how much time he has left, he will give you months and days. And so
he's on a countdown.
At the countdown. And one of the things that he really encouraged me to do was to go back to school and get my certification as a health coach and to start my own business before he got out. So this way we could kind of, you know, be running smooth when he finally gets out and realizes that VA really is VA. You know?
Yeah, it's true. I high five him every day. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes dinner now. Like, I come from home from work, and there's, like, dinner. My daughter's picked up from band practice. Like, the role reversal is crazy. I have to tell myself, slow down, take time. You still have one at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so hyper-focused on making sure that this business, you know, is successful, mm-hmm. as well as focusing. I feel successful in my marriage. Mm-hmm. And even with our daughter, same thing. You don't realize that in the blink of an eye, you know, with our son graduating, same thing. I was like, holy crap, he graduated? Like, where did it go? Mm-hmm. So just be prepared for that. It's just going to be like hyper speed. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to live through it. And it might seem like there are days that it might not work out the way that you wanted to, or your husband might be sad, or the emotional roller coaster of what this looks like, and to find hobbies and grow beard, you know, all what we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And I was so used to seeing my husband come home in his uniform daily. Mm-hmm. Our kids ask that, like, man, it's strange not to see dad come home, mm-hmm. In his uniform and boots. And I'm like, you know what? It is. Age is so crazy. But then I'm looking at him like, oh, you know, that shirt and those pants look great together. Like, wow. So even now when he goes and gets his hair cut short, I'm taken aback. Like, whoa, you look like somebody in the last 20 years that I've known.
Right.
So, And that's the thing is you're programmed essentially. Yeah. You know, this is it, but it's amazing and it can only get better. That's the only thing I can think of. This is our second life.
Yes. Yes. What will we
do? Yeah, like it's your second life. You can be anything you want to be when you grow up. You know, like anything.
Yeah.
You can try something mm-hmm. that maybe you like, maybe you don't, and then try something again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fail by trying, you know? Mm-hmm. You've already failed if you don't try.
When it was time for your husband to retire, what are some things you feel you were completely clueless about?
Or anything along those lines.
So when you retire, you do sit down with a counselor.
Okay. Now, is that your the soldier or the soldier and the family?
The soldier and the family.
Okay, great.
Sit down with a financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're required to take these classes.
Okay? How far out is that?
You can start taking them with like 24 months, 18 really? Months.
Okay.
I mean, you yourself have access to these things. You don't have to go with your soldier. Mm-hmm. You can go up to ACS
mm-hmm.
and you can sit and, you know, they'll tell you who a financial planner is and they'll make an appointment with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the soldier themselves, they start their kind of, oh my gosh, what is it called?
I think it's SFL TAP, Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you are allowed to sit in there with them.
Mm.
And you get to listen to the seminar. You get to watch the PowerPoints. You get to ask the questions. You get to build like the planners for yourselves. You're discussing what finances you have, what debt to income ratios, and how to kind of get ahead of these things. And, you know, they do the Army math for you because, mm-hmm. you know, Army math.
It's worse than Common Core, I tell you.
Yeah, you do. And there's flyers, pamphlets, anything that you need, it is readily available for you on that installation.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you retire, you still have that available to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever have a question that you need answered, you can go right back to those same agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Us as spouses, we're allowed to talk to VA as well. You know, we're allowed to obtain this information. VA actually offers tuition assistance to spouses. Yeah, there are programs, educational programs. Now for myself, I already had, you know, licensing and certificates, things like that. So it wasn't feasible for me to do such.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband was able to take advantage of the vocab rehab program and finish his bachelor's. Mm-hmm. And we never had to touch his GI Bill.
Wow. So, now is that in his retired state or before he retired?
That was in his retired state.
Wow. Okay.
So tuition assistance is what paid for the first portion of his degree.
Mm-hmm.
And his last was through VA. So, you know, depending on how you retire, like with us, it was 20 years medical due to some medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our benefits are a little different because of the medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, the system works out the same for you. You just have an abundance of opportunities and information.
Mm. That's good to know, because oftentimes when you hear people talk about retirement from the military, it's in a negative sense. And I think it's because we just don't know the programs that are available to us. So it is wonderful that you're shedding light on that. And if you're listening right now, obviously you're listening, I want mm-hmm. you to just go and find those programs that are specific to your needs, because they are out there.
They are there. We assume that they're going to be handed to us.
Right.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
We are adults.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody holds our hands anymore.
Right.
If you want the information, you seek it out. Go to your educational center. Go to your ACS.
Mm-hmm.
Go attend your husband's ACAP. Sit in there with him during all of that. make sure that you too understand what VA benefits are. If you feel like you're not getting an answer from one source, there's always an answer someone else. Use your resource officers. While you're still on active duty, use your FRG leaders. Use those school liaison. Use the school psychologist. The things about it is they have so much information. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they're there for, and we don't take advantage of it.
All right. Well, oh my goodness, this conversation is so good. I almost don't want to have it end, but I know that we have to. So if I could ask you this one last question. If you could give advice to those who are knocking on retirement's door, and I mean any advice, the advice that you wish you had, what would that advice be?
Minimize your debt. Mm-hmm. Whatever debt you get, pay it off as soon as possible. Create yourself several savings accounts. Call them your My Fund accounts. If there's something you want to buy, put the money in that fund. When you've reached your max amount, pull that money out and buy what you want. Start developing a plan of action now. It makes it easier for your exit. If you know you want to buy a house and you want to use your VA loan, guess what? You got to keep your credit score good, right? If you know you want to take advantage of, say, traveling, using your Space A's, do it, all these things. Use it while you can. But remember, this isn't really the end of it. It's the beginning of the next chapter of your life. And you can write that chapter however you want to. The small planning. Take lots of pictures. take lots of pictures. Look back and just enjoy it. Because, it goes by so fast that you don't even realize it. We do, like you said, we get caught up in the negative. And we often forget that we travel the world for free. We live where my family member, like some of my family members, I would love to live there. We live in these places that people would love to go. We meet so many culturally diverse individuals that we become cultured. We become richer. And it's not the money we have. It's what our spirit gains by these places and these people.
But that's so good, because we need to hear that. We really need to hear that, and not just hear it, but implement it.
Prepare for that. That's what you prepare for. Enjoy it. Again, set you some money aside, create a couple accounts, and when you want to buy those things, buy it. Pay your debt off. Pay your debt, because you can't retire on 50% and $100-something thousand in credit card debt.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
No, not wise.
No, it's not wise, but it happens. It does happen. Talk to your financial planner.
Wow. Melissa, it was so great chatting with you. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us to help make retirement an easier transition. Plus, I cannot wait to come to your salon. These brows need some expert attention. If you too need some Bella Dawn Salon TLC in your life, it is located at 100 Vineland Center Drive, Suite 6, Vine Grove, Kentucky, in the Vineland Shopping Center. Tell her Sakina from Military Wife Matters sent you. Today's broadcast has been brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Radcliffe. If you're looking to join a supportive, welcoming gym community with people of all fitness levels who want to see you succeed, you have come to the right place. Anytime Fitness of Radcliffe. Check them out. AnytimeFitness.com. Also by Allison Hermanson, with Pampered Chef, dedicated to bringing memories to the table one meal at a time. For more information, you can connect with her at Allison.Hermanson@Yahoo.com. And by Clean Good Eats, specializing in allergy-friendly and detox eating plans, group and one-on-one coaching available to help you get your health back on track, bringing the family back to the table one meal at a time. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Military Wife Matters, where we delve into the real-life issues concerning military wives across the nation. Join us next time as we bring to you those topics that matter most to you.